Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to another episode of Pneumaticos. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich. And this morning's episode is entitled, During the Days of the Incurable Ones, Enoch Walked with God. This morning, I read or began reading an article from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta, Georgia. The article was titled Sexually Transmitted Disease Surveillance 2012, the Vision of STD Prevention for January 2014. It is a large article and over 107 pages, and there's some very interesting and startling statistics revealed in the research. And one of the things that I wanted to address for some time now is the spiritual malaise that has settled over Western culture, and particularly in the United States. This is a culture that has lost its way. In spite of the many articulate voices with their proposals for this and that answer to our pressing and prevalent problems, there is an astonishing absence of hope and viability. Yes, cogent and reasonably, as speeches that sound reasonable, are out there. The solutions seem to be very pragmatic and logical, well argued most of the time. But there is the absence of hope. Now, change is promised, but what change means remains a mystery. But what I am seeing more and more is what happened to the West not long ago with those virulent voices that wanted to cut God out of the social conscience, either through the embedding of unbelieving voices and unbelieving ones in academic institutions or otherwise. And so we are at a tipping point in Western culture, and which is reflected in the so-called movies that are coming out or that have been made, such as The Hunger Games, and other movies that are coming out in which the human race always appears to be in a post-apocalyptic setting. And mind you, the survivors are these very smart people who know how to take care of themselves in this post-apocalyptic environment, so they know survival skills, and there is the enemy, and the enemy is, of course, in pursuit of them, either because they're different or something else is going on that I'm not quite sure what the point is. But nevertheless, it is very interesting that God has been expunged, as it were, from human consciousness. And our society has paid the price. And so a radical pluralism has formed in which, within this cacophony of voices, every viewpoint is important, and every viewpoint is substantive. And where did this come from? And so we are seeing that with the expungement of God from the cultural dialogue, we see that our answers are nil. Now, I am reflecting on what I see. And so the prophetic voice that I am bringing to you is a reflection on what is out there. And in no way am I saying that their conclusions and their post-apocalyptic viewpoints, you know, are it. That is not what I'm saying at all. And Johnny Depp appears to be in a movie in which, you know, he dies, but his consciousness is saved and uploaded in the computer. And so here we have, you know, transhumanism being introduced to us. And so we're seeing that we're going to be told that the worth of an individual is his consciousness that can be uploaded and saved in a computer, in this hard drive. And this is the essence of the individual. And so what does all this really mean? What are these voices trying to tell us? We have the new Noah movie that has come out, and the name of God is never mentioned. There is a pronoun, he, but the name God is never mentioned. Well, I want this morning to talk about an individual who did know God in the antediluvian world. I want to speak about an individual who did walk with God during the time of the incurable ones. And the name incurable ones is taken from the Hebrew word Enosh. You will recall that in Genesis chapter 3, a decisive event took place in which there was the presence of the diabolic in the Garden of the Light, and the betrayal or the deception of the Isha, and the subsequent disobedience of Ish, that is, the Adam with his wife, caused what we term theologically the fall of man, the fall of man in Genesis 3. But although Genesis 3 records the fall of man, it also records the this salvation message in that same chapter. And the redemptive promise of God is given for humanity. We read in Genesis 3:21, the Lord God made garments of skin for the Adam and his wife and clothed them. And the Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us, knowing tov and ra, that is, knowing good and evil. So tov, the Hebrew word for good, means full of pleasure. And ra, the word means full of pain. So now man knows the essence of the diametrical. He learns the essence of the antithetical. He will live out his days understanding that the decision that he made to be in active disobedience to reveal the will of God has consequences, existential consequences. Because God had promised that dying thou shalt die. But he clothed the man and his wife in verse 21 with garments of skin. In that we have the promise of redemption. The redemptive event, or God's saving activity, will be ongoing. And God's saving activity will be the golden thread to the Old Testament documents and into the New Testament, which will proclaim that indeed God has kept his promise and that humanity has an opportunity to be saved. It is no mistake that the great 19th century attack on the Old Testament was on the first five books of the Bible. It is no mistake that one of the first attacks occurred by a French individual, Jean Astruc, who attempted through his critical methods to put away the importance of the Pentateuch, and to particularly attack the Genesis material. It is interesting that this, with the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls and other documents from Lachish, etc., you know, these attacks were summarily dismissed through wonderful scholarship. But I want to make a point of the fact that these attacks was a direct attack on the salvation message that is contained in the biblical documents. So, in chapter 4 of Genesis, we have the account of Cain, whose name means lance or spear. And he slays his brother Abel, whose name means breath. And so, the first murder is a fratricide, the killing of one's brother. In Genesis 4:10, the Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood, in Hebrew, not blood, but your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. Now, in the Hebrew, the word for blood is dam, D-A-M, and the word for ground is adama. The original name that Yahweh Elohim gave to man was Adam, who was taken from the ground. The chemicals that make up the human body are essentially found in the crust of the earth. There's no mistake about that. This was established long ago. And so we have the Adam, we have Dam, and we have the Adama. And so Cain slew his brother Abel of breath. In verse 16, so Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. And there Cain built a fortified settlement. I know some versions read city. Antoniak was born Irad, and Irad was the father of Mehushael, and Mehushael was the father of Methushael, and Methushael was the father of Lamech. Lamech married two women, one named Ada and the other Zillah. Ada gave birth to Jabal. He was the father of those who lived in tents and raised livestock, so he was a nomad. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all who played the harp and flute. Zillah also had a son, Tubal-Cain, who forged all kinds of tools out of bronze and iron. Tubal-Cain's sister was Naamah. Lamech said to his wives, Ada and Zillah, listen to me, wives of Lamech. Hear my words. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for injuring me. If Cain is avenged seven times, then Lamech 77 times. So embedded within the seeds of the Cainite is this predisposition to murder. And so we have, beginning in verse 19 of Genesis 4, we have polygamy, and Cain's line will be cut off because of his heinous brutality to others. It is interesting that in verse 25 of chapter 4, we read that the Adam lay with his wife again, and she gave birth to a son, and named him Seth, saying, God has granted me another child in place of Abel, since Cain killed him. Seth also had a son and named him Enosh. At that time, men began to call on the name of the Lord. In chapter 5 of Genesis, it is vital because it tells us about what happened to man. And notice in chapter 5, we read, this is a written account of Adam's line. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created the male and female and blessed them. And when they were created, he called them man. Both male and female are Adam. When Adam had lived 130 years, he had a son in his own likeness, in his own image, and he named him Seth. Now, that is a vital verse because man as originally created from the hand of God is now different. And because of the fall, the historic space-time fall in Genesis 3, Adam now has a son who is like him. Now, mind you, both Cain and Abel were also of the Adam, but this is specifically giving us information as to, you know, what happened during that time. And so, verse 4, after Seth was born, Adam lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters, although Adam lived 930 years and then he died. Now, the average age in Genesis chapter 5 is 912 years. And so what we're going to see is that Thanatos, in the Greek word for death, Thanatos is genetic. It is within the DNA of humanity. So Genesis chapter 5 is a cemetery, as it were. But then out of this death, death that is recorded here, there is life. See, the curse is embedded within humankind, and because we will be, then he died. Verse 5, although Adam lived 930 years, altogether Adam lived 930 years, and then he died. When Seth had lived 105 years, he became the father of Enosh. And after he became the father of Enosh, Seth lived 807 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Seth lived 912 years, and then he died. And so it goes on. And Enosh lived 905 years at the bottom of verse 10, and then he died. Kenan lived 910 years, and then he died. Notice the descent, and notice the longevity is being cut off as we read down. Altogether, Mahalalel lived 895 years, and then he died. Verse 19, and after he became, and verse 18, and when Jared had lived 162 years, he became the father of Enoch. And after he became the father of Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Jared lived 962 years. So there is a descent, and yet we see that there are some exceptions and with regard to that, as in the case of Jared. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Now, this is a wonderful transition. And notice, in the midst of having a family, verse 21, when Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And so his name, Enoch, is from Kanach, which means to instruct, to initiate, to dedicate. And so the life of Enoch is the reign of grace during this time, during this antediluvian time, during this, within this world that was in an active rebellion and alienation of God. Enoch had a demonstrative life, a wonderfully powerful life, in that we read, he walked with God. He was not influenced by the faltering and malignant cultural culture around him. He walked with God in the midst of a virulent culture. You see, his eyes were focused on who God was. His eyes were focused on worship. Enoch listened to God. He was tutored of God. He developed his life with God. Let me say to you this morning that we live in a virulent culture. We live in a time of terrible malignancy. But in the midst of this darkness, there is God with divine hope. I'm asking you to look to God. And even though there was the attempt in the 19th century of what was called higher criticism to destroy the Word of God, yet God remained consistent. And these individuals who attempted to expunge the Word of God, as it were, from the West, are gone. Their books remain, some of them, and there are even those who still hold to some of the viewpoints found in these books, but they have since been addressed and dismissed because there's no validity. Their viewpoints were found wanting. And God's word is still here changing lives, building up individuals, giving hope. And so let me say this morning that God is wonderful and God has provided us his word that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Indeed, he has not been expunged from heaven. God is here. And it is through the Jesus, that is, Jesus Christ, it is through the wonderful Christ event that God has shown his love for mankind. There is a rich and wonderful answer for our deepest needs in the pages of the Scriptures. I invite you this morning to read the Word of God. I invite you this morning to study the Word of God and learn God's answer to the human condition. God has a wonderful answer that he's provided for us through the living Christ, who died for our sins, who was buried, and who rose again from the grave. You can have a brand new life this morning if you fall beneath the cross, confess your sin, confess your need for the Savior. Please understand the times in which we live. Please understand that amidst this the darkness and the indecisiveness that seems extant, there's the Word of God. There is hope. There is real hope. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not die, but have everlasting life. That is extended to you this morning. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a wonderful day.